Back to kind of going verse by verse, which is what I normally do, but once you go to chapter 11, we're just going to use one verse to kind of kick things off tonight. Before I get into that, I didn't make this announcement, but we need to make it. We need some volunteer help for 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon on the ball field. We have so much work getting the big party set up. How many of you have helped us do that before? Would you raise your hand? That's quite a few, but it's a big job. We have a lot of setting up to do and the different booths and the various things that go on. So if we can rally over about 2 o'clock, more the merrier, and we'll have as much stuff over there and equipment as we can to get everything set up, and we'd appreciate it very much. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, I'm just jumping in a little deep. We're going to go back and catch up later, not tonight, but other times. Says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Somebody says that the wise win souls also. That's, you can reverse it. That's what Anniversary Sunday is all about. We'll have the soul winning booth. How many of you heard the spot Brother Maxwell helped me put on the radio this morning? Did you hear the spot today? Are y'all all listening to the same radio station I am? You better be. Anyway, we're trying to get everybody to come, of course, and it's about winning souls. Now, we're going to make, I can't help it, folks make a little bit of fuss about, I've been here, this finishing up 49 years, I'm starting my 50th. Not by myself, Sonia and I came here together, still together, amen. Sometimes she thinks about it otherwise, but all right, I'm joking around a little bit. We came here in 1971, been here by the grace of God ever since. So 49 years. Now in the verse here, it says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. It's talking about soul winning. But I want to talk to you a little bit tonight. I got to thinking about this. She and I have been here 49 years. That'll be something a little bit significant about that. And I tried to figure out what maybe it could be. 49 years, starting on number 50. 49. I got to thinking the significance of the word and the number 9 in the scripture. It's an interesting thing. It represents fruitfulness. It's one of the numbers that, now it also can represent the Holy Ghost, which if you put the Holy Ghost together and count the letters in it, that's 9 letters also. And here in the plain old King James English, you can see a lot of phenomena going sometime when you check out the numbers. I'll do that maybe here a little bit. And I want you to consider number 9 with me a little bit tonight as we think about, here's our opportunity this Sunday to be fruitful, to bear fruit for the Lord. John 15 talks about the Lord pruning us and helping us to bear more fruit. The fruit of a Christian, of course, is souls, reaching everybody we can for the Lord. That's what our missions is about. That's what all the buses we run, and that's all that we do, the door knocking, the visitation. Well, the bottom line is still souls. I was hearing from a friend here recently that I think I might have told you this, that got into some warfare with the demons and all that, and he learned quite a bit. And he said, the one thing I did learn about Satan with all of his plan and all that warfare and struggle I went through was this: his main goal is souls, to keep souls lost, to keep them from being saved. And while he knew that theoretically, he knew that from being in church and studying his Bible and all, he said, it came home to me really, really hard that his main goal was to keep people lost, That was his big goal, his big achievement. Well, our main goal is to do the opposite. It's to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to consider 9, one less than 10. And of course, we count in our numbers, we count by 10. So 49 is one less than 50. But let me give you a little bit of history. Sonia and I did come here in 1971, and we both tried not to come. She will remember. We tried to avoid it. We tried to find every way in the world not to, because it was my hometown, and it just didn't seem, you know. I quoted God's own Bible to him several times. I quoted to him that a prophet's not without honor save in his own country, and I said, I'll be, you know, I don't have no respect down there. They'll remember me from hot rodding around town and all the other stuff I wish I hadn't have done. And to come back there as pastor, I remember I preached a revival here for the little church before I came, so 3 or 4 months before I came. And one guy came to the revival and he said, I saw that hot rod car outside, and I said, that had to be you. Well, no, I was envious of that car. I was covetous of it. It wasn't mine. Somebody else was driving it, but he thought it had to be me since he heard I was preaching revival and he saw that fancy car outside with a big motor in it, but he was wrong. But anyway, it brought him to church. And that was a good part. But the history of our coming, we're taking a big step of faith, and we knew that. Boy, did we know that. And it was a fearful step. As we looked at the circumstances, moved into the little old parsonage behind the church here, and it was in really bad, bad shape. The people had made an effort to try to get it ready for us, but whoever it was had no taste in paint. They went inside that house and painted every wall in it dark green. Every one. I mean, there's some green that's pretty and there's some green that's not. And it was one of those negatives. It was not. And we went in there and the windows had all been screwed shut. You couldn't open a window, but the house had no central air in it. And you can imagine in the summertime. So I could just name you one thing after another, but the circumstances didn't look good. But there was one big thing. We knew God was calling us. And so we had to come. And now as I go 49 years from that date, nobody could have dreamed what God was going to do, what he had planned for 49 years. Now, I'm playing on the 9 just a little bit because it does represent fruitfulness. It does also can represent the Holy Ghost, as I've already said. But all through 49 years, has everything been perfect? Of course not. Been valleys and been crises and been challenges. But the good sure outweighed the bad. And the Lord has given victory time and time again when the soothsayers would have said, no way, it can't be done. I remember one couple that visited my church. I think they're pretty good folks, but she said, the preacher's gone too far now. I remember. He's gone too far. She was talking about that hotel, I think. I did agree with him in my heart, but I knew... I felt like God was in it anyhow, but what God has done has been tremendous, tremendous. Talking to you about fruit bearing, we are commanded to be fruit bearers. And we know in Galatians chapter 5, it's not talking about many fruits, but one fruit that's manifested in 9 different ways. Now there's the word 9, the number 9 again, having to do with fruit bearing. And the book of Galatians, interesting, let me play on the 9 with you a little bit. Book of Galatians there in chapter 5, when it lists the 9 manifestations of the fruit, it's the 9th book in the New Testament. And the word Galatians has got 9 letters in it. You say, oh, that's coincidence. Just hang on. It keeps going. So far until you realize it can't be coincidence. That God is in the picture, doing those kind of things. Now, by God's grace, we've been fruitful here by God's grace. In our life, serving the Lord here, I believe these nine fruits have been apparent. How many of you can name the nine manifestations of fruit there in Galatians chapter 5? I think probably you could. That's a verse that a lot of people have memorized. Love, joy, peace, and long-suffering right on through all nine of them. And number nine, speaking of being fruitful, let me show you in the Bible some of the phenomena. First time you got the word nine in the Bible, you would have to go to Genesis chapter 5. You want to go? Just take your time. We're not in a hurry. We got a few minutes left here. Go to Genesis chapter 5. I don't have it marked either. And here's what you'll find out about Genesis chapter 5. You'll find it's the first time that you have nine show up in the scripture. And here's what I want you to see that's a phenomenon about it, not the first time it shows up, but it's placed ninth in the verse. Now, that's a little bit more in coincidence, don't you think so? So we go to Genesis chapter 5, pick it up in verse 5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now let's count it. 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You see it? All right, it's first time it shows up. It's the ninth word in the verse. We're just talking about English now. Now, let's look a little bit further. That's the first time that it shows up. It's the ninth word in the verse. Now go with me to Genesis 17. Just while we're in Genesis, move on over. I'm not going to go very many, but there's so many of these in the Bible. Somebody said, well, the Bible, some man wrote it. Well, why don't you try it? You can't do it. And nobody else can do it. And they can't make it come out like it does with all the phenomena that I'm talking to you about here. Look at it here in Genesis 17. And let's see, I want to pick up verse 1, I believe. And when Abram was 90 years old, and 9, is that what it says? Well, let's count them again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Why? It was a big coincidence, right? No. God is saying something to us here. He's telling us we got something unusual in his word, and I like those things. A lot of folks, maybe I lose them on it, but go to Judges chapter 4. Keep on going to your right, and we'll get on over there and pick up Judges. Go to Judges chapter 4. Oh, come on, come on. Chapter 4, and let's look at verse 13. Got to mark that in scripture. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There it is again, 9. Well, let's try something else. Let's see here. Where else do I want to go? Let's go to the New Testament. I've already been and talked to you about Galatians. Go over to Matthew chapter 20. And just to show you, it's in all the way through the Bible. Matthew chapter 20. And we'll pick it up in verse 5. Verse 5. First New Testament book, Matthew chapter 20, verse 5. And again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. He's talking about hiring the workers for the vineyard. Again, we'll count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Is that where you count it? Well, that must be another coincidence. Well, let's try a little deeper in the New Testament. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. You know the story. Cornelius is sent for help, and Peter has come and preached to him in his house, and the Gentiles get saved. You remember the story? And so in Acts chapter 10, let's look at it in verse 3. Talking about Peter, and he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Let's count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's 9 again, isn't it? Are you following me a little bit? Now, 9, we could keep on going with it. But 9 is a number that deals with fruitfulness. Now, Peter's fixing to preach the gospel to the house of Cornelius, and that was a bunch of fruit. That was a fruitful time. It always seems to fit. I won't go back to it, but in Genesis 9:1, Noah was told to be fruitful. And that phrase, to be fruitful, in the King James Bible, in the English, appears not 8 times or 7 times, but it always appears 9 times. You'd think somebody might have wrote the whole book that knew what the front from the back, don't you think so? Amen. The beginning from the end, of course so. That's the Lord. Now, what you and I are dealing in as God's people, we're dealing in supernatural things, folks. Seeing a soul saved is a supernatural thing. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I ask you to check your memory just a minute. How many of you ever remember the first time you took God's word and showed somebody the scripture, how to be saved, and you saw them get saved right in front of your eyes? Can you go back in your mind and remember that? I can. I want to tell you something. That's a supernatural experience. And I don't care how many times you've done it, it still blesses your heart to do it, don't it? It's still very real. And I'll tell you what else. How many of you ever had the devil fight you when you were trying to show somebody how to be saved? Oh, man, I could tell you a bunch of those stories. Uncanny things. I remember I was in a country house one night up in Sumter County. It was a dead-end clay road. There was probably only 2 or 3 houses on that road. And I went to the last one, and I was talking to the man of the house, had my Bible out, was showing him how to be saved. And of course, some little houses, when you pulled up in the front, you was almost in the living room, and car pulled up there and interrupted real bad. Guy come in, and the homeowner knew him, of course, whatever he called him, John, whatever. He said, what do you need? He said, I don't need nothing. I just saw a car down here, and I wanted to see what business he had down here with you. I wanted to say, none of your business, man. Get in your car and leave. The devil just used you to interrupt something. Have you ever had that happen? Phone ring. Dogs go crazy. Ooh, I was on dogs earlier. I like dogs, but I like them in their place. Sort of like women, but anyway. I thought I'd get you, wake some of you up. Anyway, I've told you a story about one fellow here. I think I might have told it not long ago. I'll listen to it again myself. A young lady in the church wanted me to visit her dad. And it was Sunday afternoon. It was almost church time. And I went to his house, knowing I didn't have a long time before I had to get to church. And when I went in his house and went in with my Bible, he had a dog, a good-sized dog, a foreigner. It wasn't an American dog, I could tell you that. He's one of them foreign poodles or something, but he was a big fella. At first, he liked to eat me up at the door. Then the man got a hold of him. Then he fell in love with me. And I sat on the couch trying to show that guy of my Bible how to be saved, and that dog mauled me. He mugged me all. I mean, he'd get on the couch and come around behind my neck. He just done everything. Clawed me, had claws. Of course, I couldn't kill him right in front of his owner. But anyway, he just bad. But somehow, through it all, I finally won the man to the Lord. And got him to church later and got him baptized. But then they moved off, and I never knew what happened to the guy. Years went by, a lot of years. And one Sunday afternoon, I get a phone call at home, and the man on the other line says, "You don't know me, but I'm the son of a man you led to the Lord, and he's dying. He's up here in Davenport, in one of the mobile home parks, and he would love to see you before he dies." Well, I couldn't figure who it was. But I went. They gave me the address, and I went. And I got up there, and here's what I found out. I went in. The man was on his deathbed. He did die shortly. And he had two grown men in the room with him. And he said, "Preacher, I know you don't remember me." He said, "These are my sons." He said, "I know you don't remember me, but do you remember when the dog mauled you when you were trying to win a man to the Lord?" I said, "I sure never forget that." He said, "That was me." He said, "I really got saved." And he said, "I went back home up north and I led my sons to the Lord. And these two boys here are preachers now." Now, the devil fought, but he lost that one. He used the dog, no doubt about it. But that's a powerful story. And he said, "I wanted you to know that you didn't waste your time that day when you came over and won me to the Lord." And I just want to say to you folks, it is a supernatural thing. God wants us to bear fruit. Bearing fruit is a supernatural thing. I told you the number 9 also kind of deals with the Holy Ghost, which is 9 letters. If you put those two words together, I want to be a niner. How about you? I want to be a fruit bearer. I want to win somebody to the Lord. Now, we got all the things we're going to do on Anniversary Sunday. And we got some gimmicks and so on. Nothing wrong with all of that. They're attention getters. And the soul winning booth in the middle of the field over there, we'll have up a catchy sign and things to get folks to come in and let us tell them about the Lord. Say, what is the one great thing I could do for Anniversary Sunday? Win somebody to Christ. That is the greatest. That's the greatest thing we can do anyhow. Really is. And here's what we sometimes do. We just throw a net and we miss everything. Maybe what we ought to think about is one quality visit, one quality witness, one that we're going to zero in and talk to thoroughly. One thing about the soul winning tent, I said it on the radio this morning, we take time. Even in church, sometimes we're fighting the time thing. But you can go to that soul winning tent, and a soul winner can sit down with one and take all the time that's necessary to let them see, let them ask a question, or whatever it takes to get a good understanding. And when it's all said and done, that's probably the most important thing we can do. It really is. And the soul is so important. A man said the devil's after souls more than we Christians think he is. That is his bottom line. To distort the thinking and the hearing and all that he does and the distractions and all that it can get into, because he's trying to damn every soul he can to hell. And yet you and I can be fruitful and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I only touched a few of the 9s, but you can check out the 9s and every number in the Bible. You play around with it a little bit and see what God is doing. And here's the good thing. You can change the King James, you mess it up. It won't be the 9th letter every time. Just change a verse and mess it up. That's why we stick with what God has proven and uses. Amen. All right, let's stand, Brother Hector. Choir practice, right? Got to get ready for Sunday. Folks, we want to be at our best. And I'm hoping the choir's going to be full because that's a good testimony. We need you up there. And we try to put our best foot forward. Any of you ever remember when Mother made you help clean up the house because company was coming? Well, that's what we do. We want the house of God clean and ready. Amen. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you, Father, we're dealing for the supernatural book, your Bible. Thank you, Father, that not only do you ask us to be fruitful, you tell us, Father, that how we can do it. And that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Father, help us to share it. Bless the choir now as they get ready. Bless the visitation times tomorrow, the ladies in the morning and the college as they go out, and tomorrow night. And pray, Father, that we'd be able to reach somebody for the Lord Jesus Christ, for we ask it in his name. Amen.